Praise God that we can come as we are in front of him. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just humbly come before you, Lord, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to me and through me, Lord, as we continue talking about your Holy Spirit, Lord, and what exactly your Holy Spirit does in our lives, Lord Jesus. I pray that I would articulate your word well, Lord Jesus, and that Lord, you would just speak to us so boldly today, Lord Jesus, and so powerfully, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Randy, could you turn me down a little bit? Got kind of funky, hollowy sound going on. Well, good morning, everybody. I must confess, I am a little tired. I didn't sleep much last night, and so hopefully the caffeine gets me going here, and just the excitement of getting to preach God's word. If you guys were here last week, we started talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is so important. Last week, we established who the Holy Spirit is, that we have a God that is three in one, that's triune, right? The Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and it's so important to understand the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the person of the three that is most active in our lives today, because God is everywhere. God hasn't changed. He is who he is, and he's always been. Jesus Christ is God in human form. He came to earth to die for our sins, and Jesus is no longer here, but he's coming back. Amen. And the person that is here with us today is the Holy Spirit. That's God in us, and that's so important to understand. And last week, we talked about what makes the Holy Spirit different, and today I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. And this week, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he speaks to you and he moves on your heart. And he said, you know, I think we got to go a little bit further than just this week, because after we talk about what the Holy Spirit does, I think it's important to say, how is it that we pay attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because I can tell you all these things about the Holy Spirit, but if you guys don't understand how the Holy Spirit works, then it really doesn't do you any good, correct? And so we're going to be talking about that next week. And so I started thinking this week about, wow, you know, what is the Holy Spirit like? What is a great illustration? And DJ, if you could put that picture up. So last night I had my parents send me this picture. And for any of you that thought Andrew only likes sports and only bodybuilds and this and that, no, I'm pretty creative and pretty artsy. At 4 years old, I learned how to play the violin and I learned how to play piano. Unfortunately, 10 years after, I learned absolutely nothing. Right? I've told you that because I for some reason, just the way I was trained, it was to do things by ear, right? And so I did that, and I was able to kind of cheat my way through practice and everything, where I would ask my teachers, hey, could you play this? And I would just copy them. They thought I practiced all week, right? And then eventually came that point where I had to, like, do some concert kind of things, and I couldn't, because I couldn't read the music, right? And so, but this picture, I thought it was a good representation of the Holy Spirit, because you can see my teacher's hand there, and she's teaching me just how to use the bow, right? Something so basic. And it's so interesting that, you know, when we are first time, we're not in violinists, we're just learning about the violin, right? Your teachers kind of instruct you, and they tell you, and they treat you in a certain way, but then you become a violinist, and things are a little different, right? You still have that same teacher, perhaps, but they start teaching you and treating you a little bit differently, and the Holy Spirit is really similar. And again, it's so important to understand the Holy Spirit, because he is the most active person of the Trinity in our lives. And just like our teachers, we can kind of divide up how the Holy Spirit works in us, that the Holy Spirit, one, works before we are saved, before we are Christians. The Holy Spirit manifests in certain ways in our lives. And then after we're saved, the Holy Spirit manifests in a whole another way. And so we're going to talk about first how the Holy Spirit, how he affects us, or what his role is in our lives before we're Christians. And the first thing, if you guys remember from last year, as we talked about the process of someone getting saved, we talked about special calling, right? So this is kind of a theological term. And basically what a special calling is, it's that there's this point in a Christian's life where you hear the Bible, you hear the gospel message, right? But if there isn't some effect, if there isn't some role that the Holy Spirit has, they're just words. They don't mean anything. That's why there are people of other religions that can read the Bible, and they're still of other religions, right? Because the Holy Spirit hasn't manifested some truth to that, hasn't illuminated the reality of the gospel to them. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 10. It says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So God wants us to understand his word. That's what his plan has always been. Verse 8 says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit reveals the gospel message to us because we need it to make sense. We need to have some illumination of what the Bible means. And that's why for people that are unbelievers, oftentimes they'll read the Bible and they think it's ludicrous. It makes no sense, right? They'll say it's intelligible. And that's why, because they need the Holy Spirit to start illuminating things. And then people, you start seeing them say, you know, I think I'm starting to get this. Maybe I want to give my life over to Jesus, right? But that's the first place that we see the Holy Spirit affecting us. And then once people have made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they go through the next step, and that step is regeneration, it's renewal. It's that point where our moral status or the way we view things, it changes, right? Maybe one time, at one point, we looked at things and we thought, oh, this is an okay way for me to live. But then when you make that decision to live for Jesus, you start understanding what sin is. Right, you start experiencing some conviction, and you're going through that regeneration process. You don't think of things the way you did before. Titus 3 and 5 says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that renews us, that regenerates us, that helps us to be a Christian. Right? That's another role that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. And then the final thing I want to talk about, kind of in this kind of pre or early stage of us being Christians, is the Holy Spirit is the seal, right? Or he's the sign that we have that we are Christians. And we see this in Ephesians 1 and 13. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is that Christian seal. It's the final proof to individuals and to others, right, that you are a Christian. It's a demonstration that you're living the Christian life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit also provides inward assurance that someone is a child of God. Romans 8, 15 through 16 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit also shows us that we are children of the Most High God. And a great way to explain this is that, you know, these days, because so many people want to eat healthy, right? When you go to the grocery store, you see seals on everything, right? Non-GMO, or this is organic, or what have you, right? And the reason is, without that seal, you can't always tell or you don't always know what's on the inside. Well, the Holy Spirit is that same thing. If the Holy Spirit wasn't present, we might not really know if people are saved. The Bible tells us we'll know people by their fruit. The fruit we're talking about is the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit has to be active in your life if you're going to be showing off those fruit of the Spirit. And so it's a seal, it's a sign, and it's so important, again, because it kind of testifies and tells us that we're believers, when you start seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And we'll talk more about what some of those manifestations are, the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So just like me learning to play the violin, right, there came a point in time where learning to hold the bow, right? And having the little, this is how bad it is. I can't remember what all the things were called. But the whole, like, shoulder deal, I mean, that's terrible. I can't remember. Like, the shoulder pad? No, that's football. Like, I don't know. The whatever pad I played, you can tell, you see the picture. But anyway, whatever that thing was called, you know, there came a point where, like, my teacher was starting, like, kind of smacking me, right? It was no longer these gentle touches, you're holding it right. Now it's kind of like, do the vibrato thing. See, again, I don't even know what I'm talking about. But all those things that I'm like, wow, because there was a different expectation. Because I was no longer this little newbie little kid learning to play the violin. Now I was actually a violinist. Maybe not a great one, but I was still a violinist. And so the teacher's role in my life started changing because there was different expectations. And we see the same thing with the Holy Spirit, that once we have become believers and as we're maturing in our faith, the Holy Spirit starts doing some different things in our lives. And the first one is that the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us. We see this in John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds. And just yesterday, I was kind of reminded of this, and there was a great illustration that, you know, different situations come up in our lives. And for myself as a pastor, there are certain things sometimes where, you know, I'll deal with something, and really I want to deal with it through my flesh. Right, so I'll maybe come up with a scenario where I'm like, you know what? We just need to get rid of all this stuff. It's getting in the way. It's affecting how we worship. We just need to dump it. And maybe before I was a Christian, that might have been the way I would have thought. But what's so amazing is that the Holy Spirit reminds me that, you know what? Maybe you need to handle this a little more gently. Maybe you can't just toss out someone's stuff. Maybe you have to take a little time and think about maybe what is the lesson to be learned here? Is God trying to change your heart? And what about that person? Maybe these things mean something to them. Some of you guys here know exactly what I'm alluding to. Some of you guys think I'm crazy. But the whole point is there's times where the Holy Spirit will tell you, you need to deal with these people a little bit differently, right? That you can't just deal in your flesh. It's not about just getting angry or being sad. There's other things that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of, and that's God, right? And it's God's teaching. Absolutely. Amen. The next thing, which is often really difficult for us, is the Holy Spirit convicts us. If you've ever wondered what it is that as a Christian that maybe makes you feel bad about you doing something wrong, or maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. I need to repent. I need to fall on my face and ask God to forgive me. If you've ever wondered why that happens or what is it that causes that to happen, it's the Holy Spirit. John 16:8 says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You guys may have noticed that if you ever, you know, had the opportunity, and maybe in your own lives you've experienced this, if you've seen someone who has become a Christian, it's so amazing to see the transformation. As we were talking about regeneration, that the way they used to live now bothers them. They struggle with that. You know, I saw a lot of young singles in a ministry that I was part of back in Colorado. We started a singles ministry, and you would see many of these people that, you know, they were living probably the very worldly single life, right? Having all sorts of relationships and everything. And it was so amazing when these people came to Christ, they viewed everything so differently. They were convicted. They were like, I can't live this way. I can't treat people this way. I need to respect them, right? And it was so powerful, and that's because the Holy Spirit was changing them and convicting them. And it was so incredible when people come up and say, you know, Andrew, you know, I've been living this way, and I'm kind of struggling with this, but I don't know, I just feel I'm not supposed to live this way anymore. What do you think? And then I have the opportunity to tell them, it's because you're growing in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, of convicting you of your behaviors. So the Holy Spirit is that person that convicts us of sin and judgment. The Holy Spirit also reveals things, and this is so powerful. We see this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14, and it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit teaches us certain things we cannot know without him, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So certain things, right, the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And again, that's why when you talk to someone that's not a believer and they read the Bible, they're like, "What? This sounds ludicrous. I don't get it. It doesn't match up scientifically. It doesn't match up psychologically. It sounds like nonsense to them." But once we have that illumination of the Holy Spirit, right, things start clicking. They start making sense. The Holy Spirit reveals. Another great example of this is a story of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, brought the rest, and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?'" How did Peter know that? It's because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And this is, you know, Emily reminded me, tell everybody that this is an extreme case, because obviously if you lie, it doesn't mean you're going to die, right? That's the case here with Ananias and Sapphira. But what it does mean is the Holy Spirit manifests and works in people's lives, that sometimes the Holy Spirit may tell you something about the person sitting next to you. The reason he does that is so you can minister to them. And that's what's so powerful. It's also very convicting. I remember a teacher of mine when I was going to Colorado Christian University, and she was in the psychology department, and she was sharing about this with me. She said she had a client that came in, and they were just at this stuck point that he wasn't really talking about much. And you could tell, obviously, he was there for a reason, something was going on, but he just wouldn't open up. And then she said one day he came in and the Holy Spirit basically just revealed, like right on top of his head, she said it was like a neon sign talking about an addiction that he had, right? And literally, that's the thing, is that it's not like a neon sign, but that's what she saw. That's how the Holy Spirit manifested. And she was able to counsel him. She said, "Hey, I have a question. Have you ever struggled with this?" And he said, "How could you even know that?" It's because the Holy Spirit revealed that. That's so powerful, amen. But it's also very scary. It means there's times when God is going to want to convict you. God is going to want to challenge you. He's going to reveal something to you, probably through someone else. But imagine how incredible that is if that's a tool you use to help others. Amen? The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit is like... it's like, you know, we just watched the Super Bowl, and I apologize for bringing up those sad memories for people, but you know, there was a Super Bowl, and if you guys know the quarterbacks, right, they have a helmet that has a speaker in their head, right, and their coach, I don't remember if it's 45 seconds or what, 30 seconds, but the coach basically gets to talk to the quarterback and gets to guide them for a certain period of time. And that's what the Holy Spirit does as well. The Holy Spirit guides us. We see this in Acts 13 and 2. It says, "While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting," again, fasting, we talked about that when we fasted a few weeks ago, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" So the Holy Spirit manifested. He actually guided a decision to be made and people to be set forth. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. Luke 4 and 1 tells us, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness." So Jesus Christ, our Savior, was also led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness. Look how powerful the Holy Spirit is. It guides decisions. It guides your actions. It guides where you are to go. Emily and I have shared with you guys how we ended up in this church that was 100% the Holy Spirit, to the point, and I've mentioned this to you as well, that there was a time, it would have been summer 2 years ago, where my parents and Emily were like, nope, no way, that is not where you're going. But then God revealed something. He said, you cannot listen to them, and this is why. And I started asking them, is this the reason why you're struggling with this? And it was. The Holy Spirit is so powerful if you allow him to lead you. Because I could have very easily said, hey, Mom, Dad, Emily, you're all my loved ones. I trust you the most. I'm going to trust what you're saying. We're not going to California. But that's not what God told me. That's not what the Holy Spirit said to do. And it's not always easy, but it's always the right decision. Amen? The Holy Spirit helps us to obey God's commands, and this is so important. If you've ever wondered, how do I deal with temptation? How do I deal with the struggles in our daily lives? It's the Holy Spirit and submitting to him. He helps us with self-control. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 17 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. And then Galatians 5, 22 through 23, this is the fruit of the Spirit, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Think about all those traits, those characteristics. Those are things that help us to obey God. Those are things that help us to follow what the Bible teaches us. But again, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us with that. Because as we saw in Galatians 5, 16, and 17, our flesh is at battle with the Spirit. And if we do things the way we want to, right, we're going to give in to our own personal desires, which chances are going to lead us into sin. And then the Holy Spirit also helps us obey God in that the Holy Spirit gives us hope. Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you guys have ever wondered, why are there people that are going through some of the hardest times? We've had people in this church going through some very serious medical conditions. And when you have talked to them, they've either had a smile on their face or they have been the most encouraging people on the planet. And that's because they have hope that came from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have just seen this in the last several weeks, and it is amazing to see this because it does not make sense, right? But like I've already told you, much of the Bible doesn't make sense without the Holy Spirit's help. But I've seen it, right? You see it, that you see the Holy Spirit manifesting and giving us this spiritual hope, that the spiritual hope that can't come from anything else. And it's so powerful because, again, when you are going through some of the most challenging times in your life, if you want that peace that transcends all understanding, you need the Holy Spirit manifesting and acting on your behalf and in your life. Amen? Now, here's the totally exciting part. Like, all that hope and everything is so incredible. But this part, I think, is so powerful and amazing. And we'll get into it deeper next week. But the Holy Spirit also helps us with ministry. Because without the Holy Spirit, I would not be up here. None of us would be in church. We would not want to serve and help anybody, right? Because that is how we are wired. We'd want to do our own thing the way we want to do it. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to do ministry. Number one, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit speaks to people and speaks through them. That's why when I preach, every time I'm praying, Holy Spirit, speak to me and through me, because if not, I'm going to be telling you guys a bunch of gibberish, right? So I need the Holy Spirit
to help me. Acts 4:24-25 says this. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy through the Holy Spirit. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? So the Holy Spirit speaks through us. Matthew 10:19-20 says, but when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Earlier today, I was talking to some people. I'm like, hey, you know what? Because of some decisions we made recently, we may have to have a conversation with someone. And I said, did we pray? We need to pray, Holy Spirit, help us. Because in our own flesh, when I'm talking to someone, I may get angry. I may get really emotional. And I have to say, Lord, give me the words. If you guys have ever been in a meeting that you know is going to be heated, pray that the Holy Spirit would give you the words. And if you have ever been in a meeting like that, it is unbelievable. Because your words will be like sweeter than honey, right? They will be unbelievable. There will be a peace about you. So I encourage you, let the Holy Spirit speak on your behalf. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak for you, because sometimes, like I said, in our own flesh, the stuff that comes out of your mouth is toxic. And believe me, I've done this before. Sadly, I can say I have the ability to build people up in encouragement and help them. But I also know I have the power to tear people down. And that is a terrible thing. And I need the Holy Spirit to help me that I don't do that. But that's what my flesh sometimes wants to do out of bitterness or anger. So we need to say, Lord, I can't always control my tongue. Holy Spirit, speak on my behalf. Holy Spirit, give me the words. Amen. And I love this one. The Holy Spirit gives us the boldness to share the gospel. And as I was doing my research for this sermon, I hadn't thought of that one, and then God just provided this passage. But if you've ever wondered, why is it so difficult to talk about Jesus? Now, if your friends and family are all Christians, then it's not a big deal. But if you have a lot of people in your family that aren't Christians, you may find yourself saying, it's so hard to talk about Jesus. Because I don't want them to judge me. I don't want them to laugh at me. I don't want my coworkers to totally go off on me. I don't want to be ostracized. But what's amazing is the Holy Spirit will make you bold in sharing the gospel. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So if you guys want some help evangelizing, if you want some help sharing the gospel with your loved ones, ask the Holy Spirit to give you boldness, and he will. And you will speak it powerfully and boldly. But you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. And this final section, and we'll get into this more next week, this is about spiritual gifts. We see this in 1 Corinthians, that the Holy Spirit gives each of us some very special gifts. And these gifts are so amazing because they are what allow us to do ministry. And hopefully what you see from this passage is the importance of every gift, right? That Paul talks about that the head is not important, more important than the hand and the foot and this. We need it all because we're the body. And once a church possesses all of these gifts, right? And I believe all the gifts are here. Maybe not everybody's walking in it because maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they're a little bit afraid of it. But when we get to that place where we are all operating the gifts of the Spirit and we are whole, that's when amazing things are going to happen. But we got to get to that place. And I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think we're getting there. And that is an exciting thing. Let me read what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:1-11. It says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, this is important here. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So these gifts are to help the body of Christ and to get people into the kingdom. They're not for our selfish motivation. The spiritual gifts are to help others. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. So far that's three. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretations of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So no one person is going to possess every single spiritual gift. And there are times that we see even in the Bible that someone may have a gift for a period of time this season, right? Some people have a spiritual gift and they have it forever, right? I don't know how that works or why it works the way it does. I'm sure he doesn't give everybody one gift so they don't think they're God, basically. Or he doesn't give everybody every gift, that's the reason, right? The people get maybe two gifts here, a couple gifts over there, that's how it works. I want to close as Matt comes up with this because I realized as I was talking to Emily last week, you know, we did an altar call because we always want to make sure that everyone is saved, everyone has the opportunity to give them their lives to Christ, and that doesn't have to happen here, it can happen at home, right? But as I did that, I also, and I probably didn't make this clear enough, I wanted, because the Bible says that we need to desire the gifts, right? We need to desire. So I wanted to kind of reiterate, and I'll do this again next week because I think it's so important that hopefully everybody here is saved. So I'm just going to right now just say, let's go with that. If that's not the case, then come talk to me or, you know, if the Holy Spirit burdens you, man, just give yourself to Christ. But what I want to ask you all, as you guys bow your heads, close your eyes, that if you want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to guide you, to guide your actions and your words, if you want to experience the miraculous power of what the Holy Spirit has for you and what God wants to bless you with, then this is a time I ask you to raise your hand. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to experience more of your Holy Spirit. I want to experience those gifts, Lord Jesus. I need discernment, Lord. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to guide all of my actions. Help me to know when to do this and to do that. Lord Jesus, we're coming before you, Lord. For the hands that are up, Lord, if there are people that they're just a little afraid to raise their hands, I pray, Holy Spirit, that today you would burden them, Lord, because I know in everyone's heart, Lord, they want to experience more of you. They want to see the miraculous in their lives. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be a Spirit-filled church, that your Holy Spirit would reign. When people come here, Lord, they would feel the Holy Spirit's presence, that it would be intoxicating, Lord Jesus, that we couldn't get away from your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray this week that you would manifest in such an incredible way. Lord, that if there are any doubts in anyone's mind about what you do, Holy Spirit, that you would show them. Lord Jesus, we submit this church to you. Have your way. Transform us. Renew us, regenerate our minds, Lord Jesus. Transform us to be the church and the people you want us to be. Lord, we pray this all in your name. Amen. We're going to transition. Actually, Jerry, if you could help me move this table. Pastor Emily's going to lead us in communion. One of the things we wanted to do is, some people had mentioned this, is we want to, you know, just be cognizant of what's going on with the coronavirus. I want to ask you guys to pray as well. And so we wanted to kind of change our procedures a little bit so we're not all mixing and dipping into the same thing. So so we're going to have you guys come up and take one of the oyster crackers and then take some grape juice. And we are going to take it together today. So if you guys will take it back to your seats, and then we'll take communion together.
Yeah, go ahead and start making your way forward the same way we usually do, over from this side, and then take it back to your seats, and then I'll lead us in some prayer and just some thoughts to reflect on as we take it all together. So just take it with you and kind of hold it until everyone has been served. Was actually reading my devotion this morning and just was reminded about just the posture of humility and just really thinking about how amazing it is that we can be saved. It came up at the worship conference as well, but just thinking about, do we take it for granted? Do we really stop and think about the amazing power of the cross and the power of salvation? Because without Jesus, without his humbling of himself and coming to earth, we'd be lost. We would be doomed to die in our sins. We wouldn't have the opportunity to even know God and to be in relationship. And I think, you know, sometimes I just kind of go about my day and I pray and I'm like, oh, thank you, God, for this day and all the things that you do. And, you know, those are great prayers, but I sometimes just forget, like, it is such an amazing gift that we get to be in relationship with God, that we don't have to pay the penalty for our sins. And I think I just wanted to remind us of that this morning, that this is an amazing gift. This isn't just a thing that we do quickly or a once a month thing, but it's just a time to stop and just be grateful and just come back to kind of the beginning of our faith, you know, what it's all about. So I'm going to read through 1 Corinthians 11, and then I will lead us. We can take it all together. Actually, I'm going to pray first, and then I'll read the scripture and we'll take communion together. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for your presence here, that you are active in our lives today. And I thank you for speaking to us, God, and quickening our hearts to remember the gift of salvation, to remember that, Lord, it's not just something we do or a tradition, but it is an opportunity to really reflect on the power of the cross and reflect on our need for you, that God, we were lost, and even without you, God, we still would be. We would be living in our sins, and we'd be living with so much pain, so much brokenness, and we experience those things, but because of you, God, in our lives, we can have hope. We thank you for that hope. So Lord, today as we reflect on the gift that you've given us, and we reflect on your body, Jesus, that was broken for us, and your blood that was shed, we come with grateful hearts. God, we come just with so much gratitude that, Lord, for everything you've done for us. I pray also, God, that our hearts, God, if there's anything we need to just bring before you or confess to you, that you'd help us just do that in these moments, just bringing ourselves back to you. If there's just any, if we remember any sin or anything that we did, Lord, we just offer that to you now, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that your blood washed us clean of our sins, past, present, and future. We just come just with gratitude today. In Jesus' name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup. Amen. I praise God for that. Just the gift that we have, and that we get to do it all together. We get to just come together as a body and be reminded of the gift we have in salvation and in community. So you are dismissed. Let's